So like we said, we've come to the end of the 40 days of Easter. Our Lord kind of being with his apostles, especially for those, during those times. Remember the stories, like the first Sunday afterwards, the Sunday of the resurrection, he appeared to them. Then there was the road to Emmaus. Then a week later, he was with them again. And this, you try to imagine like the same pattern as he tries to open their minds more and more to the scripture, to who he is, to things that he said, which make probably a little more sense now in hindsight for them. And then he would break the bread so often and then vanish from their sight, and then days would pass and he'd be with them again. And just repeating that cycle over and over again for 40 days as their minds were enlightened and their understanding of him was deepened. And then it seems like this particular moment, he gave them some instructions ahead of time. Go to such and such a mountain in Galilee, or Luke's version says they were in the Garden of the Gethsemane perhaps. Something special was happening for this encounter. We come to the end of these 40 days. Just a little footnote. The Easter candle has been moved to the front of church for these 40 days. We move it to the back, and it's kind of interesting. The light is no longer quite so visible, almost as if to symbolize the body of Jesus ascending into heaven. He's not as tangibly present as he was for 40 days. So this ascension of our Lord into heaven, it's fun, something for us to ponder, and there's a close bond between today's feast and a week from now, Pentecost. Even today, Jesus references, wait for the coming of the Spirit, because these two go hand in hand. You can't separate them. But bear with me, because I think the story begins in the Acts of the Apostles, St. Luke writing. They ask a question, which I think is our question a lot of times. Remember what they asked? Reading comprehension. What did they ask? Father, can we have a Coke? No, what did they ask? They ask, is it now, Lord? Are you now going to restore the kingdom of Israel? Are we going to see your people ruling over the whole world now? Are your people going to draw all people into one family and one kingdom where you are the king? And you would think that Jesus would say, hello, duh, like obviously, like what was I doing for the last 3 years? But he doesn't say that. And I think we need to scratch our heads a little bit and be just as surprised as the apostles were with his answer. It's a confusing reply when they ask, when will it happen? Why can't we see it now? Why don't we see it now? He answers, not now, no, wait for the promised coming of the Spirit, whatever that might mean for them at that moment. But then also, bear with him, but it's even more confusing, not by me alone. Wait, what? All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me, and you will receive my power when my Spirit comes upon you. They flash back perhaps to the Last Supper where Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will take from what is mine and declare it to you, give it to you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and then Judea and then further and further Samaria to the ends of the entire earth. You, linen, will be my witness. My Spirit will testify on my behalf, and you also testify, he said at the Last Supper again. For you have been with me from the beginning. There's a moment in the series, The Chosen, they have this moment where Jesus is, during his lifetime, sending them out. And one of them asks a good question, like, are you appointing us? Was that an appointment? Because I don't feel any different. And I love Jesus' line. I don't need you to feel anything for me to do great things through you. Go, therefore, he says today, you, and make disciples of all nations. And behold, I am with you always. And then he was lifted up from them, and the cloud kind of veiled him from their sight. What were they thinking? What was it for the early church to experience being the early church when he's no longer visibly present to guide them? No one spoke, I think, in that moment. No one knew what to say. No one knew how to feel, how to think about this. Was it over? No, it wasn't over. But they had to wait for something. And even that mustard seed was going to take a long time, perhaps, to grow. Was he gone? Yes, he just ascended, and yet he wasn't gone. He just told them, I will be with you always. And then they had 7 days, or rather 10. We kind of celebrate Thursday, Ascension Thursday got moved. For them, it was 10 days. of waiting, thinking, not feeling a darn thing different. Pondering, trusting, going back over, highlight the Blessed Mother in the upper room with the apostles, helping them digest so many things Jesus had been telling them. And herself too, perhaps, deepening in her understanding. 7 days, the seedling church incubated in her conception, waiting for the birth that was about to occur. They talk about Pentecost as the wedding or the birthday of the church. But I think for them at first, and maybe sometimes for us today, this might have seemed like Jesus was like releasing them on the boat, like allowing them to be unmoored, letting them go, cutting the line, setting them adrift. Did they feel adrift for a moment or at different times? Uncertain, aimless? Was the church left adrift by the Lord? Was the church left to her own devices to figure out salvation for herself? Is that our faith? Is that what happened? Is that where the story ended? Is that what the kingdom of God was going to be? Just a bunch of men that Jesus had left in charge entirely by themselves, with no guidance from above, no presence of God anymore in their midst, to figure it out on their own. Is that the church? Is there the ascension without Pentecost? The Holy Spirit as if never came. And are we actually just the body? There, the head ascended into heaven, and the body's down on earth, and it's been decapitated. No connection. Jesus no longer guiding his church. Is that our faith? Is it just a human organization that we belong to? Or was there more? Were there truly a divine wedding when the Holy Spirit of God himself came down and fused himself to the followers of Christ? What is the church? Who are you? Who am I? What do we belong to? What are we a part of? Because a lot of times today, especially, we do kind of cynically look back and say, well, you know, at the beginning, I don't know, whatever Jesus did, we'll never know, because, you know, the victors tell the story, so that real story was lost along the way. It's like the game of telephone, you know? Jesus said what he said, but the first few generations it was told, that original story was lost, and we have no idea what really happened. We don't know the real salvation. It was lost by a bunch of male chauvinist leaders, and here we are with this human organization telling us it knows the truth and no one else does, giving us these controversial teachings that are hard to follow. I think the church is wrong. I'll figure it out on my own. I'll be spiritual, not religious. Because our Lord was so short-sighted, he left us on our own. And that early organization splintered into 1,000 other religions, and we have no way to find out what he gave us. Is that our faith? Is that what happened? And I just encourage us to take these 7 days, maybe a little bit, with the early church to ask the same question. Lord, what gives? Who are we? What are we supposed to do? Are you with us or not with us? Are we going to see your kingdom in all of its splendor now? Are you totally gone or sort of here and yet in heaven at the same time? And are we only here, or do we also have some participation through the sacraments in heavenly life, even now, like a mustard seed? Because modern cynicism says no one knows and it doesn't matter. Each one figures it out on your own. We don't say that. We don't believe that. That's not who we are. Because we were not left on our own. The ascension was not the end of the story. Pentecost was the beginning of our story. And the Holy Spirit continues present. The Spirit of God continues fused, wedded to the human element, you and me in the church, the Pope, the bishops, all of us gathered together. Remember, church, that gathering, glued by the one Spirit. One holy, Catholic, apostolic church. 7 days, let's ponder that a little bit. This mystery that our Lord just ascended into heaven, we'll read this a little while in the liturgy, not to distance himself, but that where the head is gone, the body even now can participate and will one day follow in the fullness of glory. God was not short-sighted. We have faith in the church. Not the men by themselves, left to themselves, aimlessly to figure it out, adrift, unmoored, on their own. That's not what we believe in when we say the Holy Catholic Church. That's not what we think about when we think about Pope Francis, the successor of St. Peter, still today guiding that boat of Peter. How many times our Lord even prepared them, giving those episodes in the boat, on the waters, where it seemed like Jesus had gone up the mountain to pray, and there they were adrift in the waves and the storm, and Jesus seemed gone, and they seemed lost, or he seemed to be sleeping. And all he would say was, "Oh, you of little faith, when will you understand? I will not leave you orphan. My church is not left orphan." Even though it suffers, even though the body of Christ still suffers wounds and divisions, I want us to look at this boat of Peter, that is the Catholic Church, 2,000 years of going through many, many, many storms. Moments of confusion, moments of division, moments of persecution especially. If it were just human, how would it do that? There's no other human organization that lasts 500, much less 2,000 years, and still going. Who are you, church? Who are you, Christian, and what family do you belong to? Who do you follow? How do you know the way to salvation? That there is one way, truth, and life. How precious is that treasure that you still today carry, even though it's in vessels of clay, earthen vessels ourselves, easily breakable, fragile, sinful, broken. And yet, priceless things have been entrusted to us, wedded to us, and through us offered to the entire world. Do you believe this? Do you know who you are? When our Lord says, "Go you and baptize all nations." Is August here? He's going to be baptized after Mass. Yay! It still happens. We still do this crazy thing. We make babies cry because we like to hear them scream. No, we give them the life of God. Still wedding himself to us. May our faith be renewed in this mystery of our Lord's not only ascending into heaven, but pouring out heaven upon us through the church. That gathering of originally 12, and then more, and more, and more, and more. And some splintered, some separated themselves from the vine. We pray that there be a full unification of that vine. But our Lord said, "I will give you the Spirit of truth. He will guide you to all truth." Don't doubt it. Don't let cynicism whisper in your head as if no one knows. We've not been abandoned. We are not left on our own. We pray for that Spirit of truth to shine more brightly. We pray for the human element ourselves to surrender a little more and push sin, ignorance, stubbornness, all these things out of the way, so that we could see more clearly that the Church of God, the Kingdom of Heaven, really is in our midst, even at times visible, when His glory is allowed to shine. May our Blessed Mother intercede for us. She was that first model and first fruits, you could say. She received the Holy Spirit and was totally docile to it. We're called to share a little bit of that life. May she intercede for us to follow her Son, to be docile to His Spirit, the Spirit of Heaven, God Himself, living and active within us. St. Paul would tell us to say, "It is no longer I who live, but Christ alive who lives in me," in the church. Amen. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, pray for us.